I know Pastor Angela has a word from the Lord. Would you make her welcome today as she comes? Amen.
Thank you so much. I know all those cameras now, you're going to take my picture now. No, I'm only kidding. You don't know. This worship team is such an incredible blessing, and I love that these young gentlemen and women joined our team, and we have these teens and the women. You are such an example of the body of Christ that is so beautiful to me. I am so touched, and I just want to tell the congregation, you know, this team put a lot of extra time in this. They came on Saturdays to rehearse. On Sundays, they stayed after, and they did it with the most beautiful spirit. So thank you, Jessica and Rebecca. We're leading them. Let's thank God for them. You know, Pastor David and I, we feel like our calling is to equip the saints. We want to see the gifts drawn out of the body, and we're so excited when we see what happened here today. And I believe God's going to do that more and more. And I wanted to welcome Pastor Diana Bello here today, too. She shared on Wednesday. Oh, you did, too. I stepped out for a moment, but she shared on Wednesday night, and I'm going to reference a little bit of that. And then, you know, I got to tell you, this is my sister here. For how many years, Donna, have we been friends? At least, right? At least 23 years. She's been like my, we call it, we're from New York, so sister. It's not sister. But it's amazing. I was going to write to her and tell her that I was speaking today. She's like an intercessor for me. And, excuse me. I said, you know, she has so much on her plate, I'm not going to ask her. But here, lo and behold, she comes in walking in the door this morning, and I'm like, God, you are so great. This woman is so in tune with the Holy Spirit, as many of you are, and we just thank God for that today. And I believe God's given me a word today for you. And the name of this message is called Behind Closed Doors. And I'm going to read from Luke 24, 36 to 49. Luke 24, 36 to 49. God, I just thank you so much, Lord, for all you've done already in this service, God, for the worship that was so pure and so beautiful. I thank you for interrupting the service to bring people up who needed direction in their life because you care. I thank you, God, for the dance and for the worship that went out from this and from even the offering, Lord, where people are preparing, God, planting their seed, preparing for miracles. And now we ask on your precious holy word, a mighty anointing, God. I stand as just a tube, Lord. It's all about you and your word, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So I want to read the scripture first. It says, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said, peace be to you. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, why are you so troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and blood, as you see I have, flesh and bones. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. You know, this was right after his resurrection. And he showed them his hands and his feet. And he said, and while they still did not believe it because of the joy and amazement, imagine that, this, they were thinking, first they were terrified. They were frightened. They were startled. They thought they had seen a ghost. And then he's explaining to them, now they're having a hard time believing because it was too good to be true. And it, because of their joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? He was showing them that it was really him. They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are my witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. So this is the background on it. This was happening right after Jesus had died, and they had seen their Lord, their Savior, the one who cared for them, the one who mentored them, the one who they saw great, great miracles, the one who I think many in their minds thought this was going to be the one that was going to break the power of the Roman hold that was on Jerusalem and on Israel. And instead, they saw their beautiful Savior crucified on the cross, beaten, nailed to the cross. And they were so down. That was the atmosphere when Jesus came into that room. They were terrified, actually, because now they're thinking, they had heard some rumors, they said, from Mary Magdalene, who said she saw an appearance of Jesus, from the other women who had an appearance of Jesus, from Peter, who had an appearance of Jesus, and from some of the others. So they had heard the buzz, the disciples on the road to Emmaus. They had seen an appearance of Jesus. But it could be. How could it be? This defies everything that we know. It's not possible. How could these people have seen him? They must have seen some kind of, in our day we would have said a hologram or some kind of thing. Did you hear about these? You can go to a rock show or something. They have an old artist that they do like with a hologram or something. They must have been puzzled. What is this? Who have they seen? We saw him beaten. We saw him that he was dead. He was buried. This guarding the tomb. How could he have appeared to them? And it says, you say to me, well, Pastor Angela, everything that you read, I don't see anything that says they were behind closed doors. But while they were discussing it, it says in John 20, verse 19, that another reference to the same time, it says, on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, now the disciples were huddled together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them. So here Jesus defied everything, came right through the locked doors. Why were the doors locked? They said for fear of the leaders. They probably retreated to this place. They think it was where the Last Supper was being held. They think it was the last place they had been with the Lord other than the garden. And here they were, terrified. They were afraid, disillusioned, hurt, confused. They were deeply distressed, disappointed, fearful, hopeless, hiding behind closed doors. It wasn't exactly a party going on, friends. They were silently grieving and fearing for their own safety. They wondered what would happen to them next, because it was very well known that they had hung out with Jesus. And if they got Jesus, what was going to happen to them? Hopeless. What was going to happen? This was had become their lifestyle. They had spent 3 years, day and night, with this with Jesus. And now their best friend, their mentor, their teacher, their Savior was gone. Their future was gone. They thought they were going to do something stupendous with him. And here they are, dejected, broken, lonely, isolated, fearful, locked in a room. Trembling with fear. They'd hoped the Roman oppression would be broken, but instead it seemed like Rome got him. It seemed like everything they were hoping to happen did not happen. And instead, that everything they were fearing had happened. And here they were, isolated and in this room. But I want you to know that my Jesus, he stepped into that situation. He walked into those closed doors. He didn't have to open the door. He didn't have to break the door down. He didn't have to knock. He came right where they were, right where the pain was, right where the isolation was, right where the separation was, right where the anxiety was. And he walked right into that situation. Hallelujah. 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 You know, you'd think they didn't get it. They had spent 3 years with him. They had spent 3 years and they had heard his teaching. They had talked about the Messiah. They had talked about the prophets, what was going to happen. He even told them he'd be buried and die, and that on the third day he would arise. But they didn't get it. And here they were, trapped, broken. And my question is to you, how many times have you been in that door, behind those doors? How many times have you been disappointed? How many times have you prayed for things and it seemed it went just the opposite way that you had prayed? How many times did you feel the Lord had let you down? How many times did you fear you could not face tomorrow? How many times did you get up and you wondered what was going to be your purpose for living in that day? How many times were you and I behind those locked doors wondering what can ever help me? How can I ever see deliverance? What can happen to me? But Jesus has walked into those situations and he said, peace be unto you. Peace, my peace I give you. Peace. Why are you troubled, my child? Oh, hallelujah. I am so grateful. I can give so many testimonies of how God has walked in behind those locked doors. And I want to tell you that Satan works overtime to bring isolation, to bring fear. And I want to tell you, friends, whenever you're going through a trial, reach out to intercessors. Reach out to the body of Christ. Don't cower behind the locked doors. Don't tremble behind the locked doors. But instead, reach out and say, I believe God's going to bring me through. Don't let the enemy isolate you. Don't let him tell you it's all over. There's nothing that can change, that you are doomed. Those doors could not hold our Savior from walking into those hopeless situations, from their distress. And you know, I love this about the Lord. He could have rebuked them. He could have rebuked them. He could have said, dude, where were you when I was dying? What happened to you? Nobody was around. He could have said, didn't I tell you? Didn't I show you what was going to happen? And now you're afraid? But instead, he speaks peace. Instead, he walks into the troubled situation. Instead, he calms them and he shows them that he is with them, that they were part of something so much greater even than what they understood or knew, that they were seeing what the prophets in the Old Testament had prophesied. They were seeing what he said he would do. They were seeing history split in two. They were seeing a Savior. They were seeing something amazing happening. Has the devil lied to you? Have you stood behind those closed doors? Have you doubted our Savior and the words he spoke to us when we were not in those doors? Have we kind of like when we were not in the doors and hanging around with him saying, I know the Savior. You know, I saw him feed 5,000 men and children and women with just a few loaves of bread and fish. We all love to put our hand in Jesus and celebrate when the good times are there. We all like to partake in the miracles. We all like to think that we're part of something mighty and special. But when the hard times come, we forget everything. Everything that he told us, that he promised us. But I want to say, and I've preached this here before, hang on to your words from the Lord. Hang on to the word from his word. Hang on to what you know in the light. Don't doubt it in the dark. But there are times, and I will tell you in my own life, that when I had lost my parents and I just felt in that dark room, I felt like hopelessness. I felt like everything I prayed for. There were so many transitions in my life. I didn't feel good for anything. I was a pastor's wife. I was a mother. I had studied the word. I had taught the word. I believed the word. And I was terrified. But I'm so grateful that the Lord walked into my isolation. He walked behind the closed doors. And he said, I love you too much to leave you there. I love you too much to leave you isolated and alone. And I'm going to come into your mess. I'm going to come into your brokenness. I'm going to come into your situation. And I'm going to show you that this part of a greater plan happening here. That I'm alive and well. And that I am still God. And nothing is impossible with me. He didn't reprove me and say, you should have known better. You should know the word. What's wrong with you, girl? He didn't say those things. Instead, he said to me, peace. Yes. My peace. I still the storm by my word, by my love in your life. I will send what you need to bring you on this journey. One of the favorite poems for me is the Footprints poem. Because that has been me. When I've been going through troubles and on trials, it's like, God, where are you? Where are you? I look back and I say, see, I told you, Lord, I was all alone. There was only one set of footprints. And he says, yes, it's because I was carrying you. I was carrying you. And even behind those closed doors, my friend, he's carrying you. You are not alone. You are part of something greater. Don't let the trial you're going through close the door and isolate you. Don't let the enemy lie against me to you. Know that I have a greater plan. Hallelujah. I was so touched by Sister Diana's testimony on Wednesday night. This was a perfect segue to what Pastor has been sharing about dreamers and doers, because the dreamers and doers get out of the locked doors. The dreamers and doers, the Lord helps them to come out of the locked doors and walk into destiny. And our sister was telling very personally, I won't even share all of it now, but she told honestly of a time as a minister and as a woman of God, how she was behind those closed doors. Am I right, Diana? How the Lord walked in and put forgiveness to someone who didn't deserve forgiveness. Put love where there was none. Put a hope where there was none. And he walked her out of those closed doors. And I can't wait to see what God's going to do with your life. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! What are you looking at? What am I looking at? A splintered door that I can't even see through, an isolated room, broken people all around me, disappointed. I've heard rumors. I've heard testimonies. I've heard things of that he's alive and well, but I'm broken. What am I going to do tomorrow? Everything I believed is being tested. We get tested in the very things we believe. But he is still God. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. Hallelujah. He walked in and he explained to them lovingly. He reached out his arms and said, touch me. Our God is approachable. He's amazing. Those that really want him, listen. Those that really want him will find him. I have seen this. I have seen this over and over again. Last week you heard Pastor David share about a young man that was in our, he wasn't in our youth group. He was the town menace. He was like Dennis the Menace. Only he was a bad dude. He was in the pagan motorcycle gang. He was so tough. He was so violent. He was a little guy, but he had them all trembling. He'd been in and out of jail. And my dad was the senior pastor. We were youth pastors. For some reason, the guy liked us. He loved my husband. He felt like his personal bodyguard whenever he went to witness in the park. Because there were people on drugs, people. And David, you know, he would go in and this guy would say, hey! Nobody touch Pastor Dave. listen to what he got to say. This went on for a long time. Since a little boy, my father had pulled him off the roof next door to the church. There was some buildings. He had climbed up on the roof and thought he was Superman on an LSD trip or something. And my father called him, Billy, Billy, come down. My father called him down. He loved us, but for some reason, he never wanted to come to church. And we told you the funny story that he put a contract, he wanted to put a contract on the people who had stole our equipment. Somebody broke in the church and stole our equipment. And he said, Pish to Dave, don't worry about it. I'll get it back. So David goes, no. No, Billy, that's okay. Billy, that's okay. We'll get other equipment. Life is more valuable. The last week of his life, unbeknownst to us, God had been moving and working. After years of being on, he lived next door. And he would come by. Never wanted to come in. And on this one Sunday night, we look up. Here comes this pagan motorcycle dude who is the fear of the town. He was idolized by the bad boys. With a new face, like a baby boy. A brand new face. Different. He comes into church. I think I almost fell off the piano. But I couldn't deny, and we couldn't deny there was something different about Billy. What had happened? He came up to the altar and was praying. He was praying for his son. And had a picture. What was his son's name? Charlie. Like a little boy. God, touch Charlie. We were like scratching our heads. What in the world? After church, he waits for us and he said, Pastor Dave, I've had dreams all week. And you know what? I'm the thief on the cross. I have a dream about the thief on the cross. And it had transformed him. He understood that the Lord wanted him, that the Lord was able to change him. He was, I don't know if he was a thief, but he maybe much worse. Billy was probably much worse. But the compassion of God reached out to him, and that brokenness and that darkness changed him. He left that church on a Sunday night, walked across Sunrise Highway, and got killed, hit by a car. My husband did his funeral that week, and all of the friends would tell him that he was coming in the bars that week with Bibles and telling them about Jesus. We didn't even know that Jesus had revealed himself to him. That's the compassionate Savior I have. That's the compassionate Savior I have. That's the powerful Savior I've had. I don't know who you're praying for. You may be behind locked doors and thinking, this, how can, in the world, can I get out of this? How can I get out of my unforgiveness? I was violated. I was hurt. I was lied against. Lord, I even tried to give and I lost my job. I'm isolated. God, I don't want to come out of this room because I don't know what's going to happen to me. I want to say the Lord can come right through that locked door and peer to you and manifest his presence. When his presence comes in, everything changed. They changed from fear, disillusionment, anxiety, terror, hopelessness, to joy, amazement, worship. Hallelujah! That's the kind of Savior I have. It says death could not keep his prey. Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. And you know what the disciples realized? If he truly was alive, and he was standing in front of them, wait a minute. My God has power over death. Their fear of those officials vanished because Jesus had power over death. He had conquered death, hell, and the grave. How does the enemy lie to us? To tell us that we're in one situation that cannot be changed. That we're in a hopeless situation. That we're locked up. That we don't know. Maybe we're going to just wind up being fugitives. Maybe we're just going to run for our lives. Maybe we're just going to put on a happy face and then go home to horrors and terrors. Jesus can walk into your room. Jesus can walk into your isolation. Jesus can walk into your brokenness. Jesus can walk into those situations that have hurt us in the past and kept us broken, kept us bound, kept us isolated, and he can open the door and let us free. Hallelujah! 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 Thank you, Jesus. And he tells them at the end, he says, you know what? I've been talking to you about this. Wait, I'm going to send the power. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Tarry until you receive it. The promises the Father has given are going to come. And then I read in another portion of scripture in Matthew 28:19. And before I go there, I want to say that not far in this chapter of Luke 24, there's a little gap, but then you see the disciples going out where the Lord is going to ascend to heaven in front of them. And he does this in front of them, and he is glorious, and he blesses them, and they started worshiping. And I want to tell you, start worshiping. There are too many times and too many things that God has done in our life, Brother Marshall, that he has already done, that we don't give him enough glory. I'm starting with me. Starting with me. My dad used to say, when I point one finger at you, there's four coming back to me. It's at least three, I said. We don't worship him enough. We shouldn't need Angel and the worship team or the dancers to say, you know what, let's give God some glory. He is worthy. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He has carried me when I was helpless. He has put my feet on his rock. He has given me a hope and a future. He has given me a purpose. I don't only have to be a dreamer, Brother Angel. I could be a doer. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Pastor's been talking about dreamers and doers. Too many of us have pipe dreams. Too many of us have fantasies. Too many of us have our own desires that God has to actually almost knock it out of us before we get a heavenly vision. Pastor mentioned Apostle Paul, who was Saul. He thought he was doing God's work that was amazing when he was persecuting Christians. He was killing Christians, a terrorist, a Christian. And he thought he was obeying the heavenly vision. But he wasn't till he met Jesus on that road to Damascus. And he had that encounter and the Lord showed him. And I'm saying, Lord, if my dreams don't line up with yours, I don't want them. Put your dream in my heart. And then let me be free. Open the doors, Lord. Open the doors so I could be a dreamer and doer. I am 66 years old, but I believe what you sang this morning. The best is yet to come. I am not finished. God has more for me. God has more for me. He wants me to do. Why? So I can write a book or I can... No. How many... We need to bankrupt heaven in this vicinity. We need to make a difference for the kingdom of God. So he's going to use ordinary people like you and me who have been set free, who've been let out of that captivity, whose doors of their hearts have been opened, and now they're ready to go out and to do the will of God. It wasn't enough. You see, we want to just celebrate. Let's have the testimony. Well, I thank God. He let me out of the upper room where I was isolated at that time, and I was full of fear, and I was terrified. Thank you, Jesus. He let me out. I'm doing good. No, no, no. That's not the whole deal.
Amen.
There, I don't even need this mic. There is a purpose. And every time I say to my husband, is that true? Then I have to listen to this while he's editing the sermons in the back for the CDs, and I go, I'm so loud, and my voice is so high. I'm going to try to be different. But what you see is what you get. I'm trying hard. I'm trying. I'm still trying. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. But basically, this is me. I do this to my grandkids. I think I scare the wits out of them sometimes. Hi, Maddie's here. It's not just let's fiesta. Party, party. Yeah, and listen, I'm a party girl. When I don't go to parties, I'm sad. When I don't have laughter, I'm sad, right? So I love it. We need to celebrate. A joyful heart does good like a medicine. We need times of celebrating and thanking God. But then don't forget, there's a reason you're out of that door. There's a reason that the doors have flung open for you. There's a reason that you have gone through what you have gone through. You are going to reach people, oh, Rabasaka, Rabasia, that no one else could reach because of what you've gone through. Because you knew that all hope was lost. You knew the doors were closed. You knew you were destined to be a fugitive and an outcast. But instead, hallelujah, the master walked in. He set you free. And he set you free for a reason. Hallelujah. And when he ascended to heaven, he said, go and make disciples, preaching and teaching. He said, you're my witnesses. You've seen what I've done. I love, 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 love testimonies. I love them because they're true. I can get encouragement by what Diana went through, and what Brother Robbie went through, and what Regina went through, and all of you. I can get encouraged. When I'm going through those dark times, when I'm feeling isolated and alone and lonely, I can find encouragement of hearing what God has done in my life and others. David knew the secret. The psalmist David would remind himself of the good things the Lord has done. Lord, I remember when I was behind that door. I remember, Lord, when I didn't want to come out. I remember, Lord, when I was done with church. I remember, Lord, when I felt even angry at you. I remember, Lord, when I was so afraid because of perpetrators and different things that had happened in my life. I remember, Lord. Do you remember? The purpose now is not just so we can go on living the way we want to live, but that we can have his dreams, his hopes, his plans. Jesse, your testimony at our last Mother's Day open house. What you went through as a young woman is astounding. There's a reason. There's a reason you've gone through and that the Lord has opened those doors and let you out. Every one of you, every one of you. I know personally many things that you have all gone through that are amazing the Lord has brought you through. But I want to tell you something. Some of you are in that room right now. Some of you are locked up. You thought, like the disciples, you thought this was it. You thought that was going to be the answer, and it wasn't. You're disappointed. You don't know which way to turn. And the Lord just sent me today to say, you are a dreamer and doer. And the Lord is going to walk into your situation, and the Lord can lead you out. He could turn your sorrow into joy. I don't know how he does it, but in all the things that God is doing, he is working together for our good. He is working together for our good. And don't waste, I don't know where this comes from, when the Lord brings you out, don't waste the deliverance that he's given you by going back to the old stuff. That's a word. I'm going to say it again. Because it may even be your and my ideas of what God wants for our lives. It may even be what we think God wants. I've been in points where I thought I knew what God wanted for our ministry. I thought, and I was so sure, that I was getting madder and upsetter, and I was anything but a minister. I was in that prison, up that room, locked up with my self-pity, locked up with my memories, my disappointment, even of the things of God. Maybe you thought you were starting a ministry and it didn't work out. But you know what? Everything we've been through, even failures, disappointments, things we've done, things others have done for us, I can say that God is using them in my life. And I can assure you, He will in yours. I can assure you, He will in yours. But when He brings you out, don't just say, fiesta, party. Instead, say, praise you, Jesus. Lord, I give my life to you. Lord, I know that you took me out of this darkness. You took me out of this loneliness. You took me out of this room. Listen, pay attention here, because I want to just say this. This is almost now a prophetic part, okay? So please, unless it's an emergency, just wait. When God brings you out of this, please, please promise you'll give Him the glory. Promise you'll dedicate your life to Him. Promise that you'll share this testimony, that you'll seek His way of being a dreamer and doer. Joseph, for him, the prison led him right to the throne of Egypt. Ha! Who does this but our God? I just want to encourage you to not hold an argument with God. As much as you don't understand right now, just trust Him. There's a song that says, when you can't see His hand, trust His heart. And many times, I don't see it the way I want it. I'm telling you, I don't see it. But I'm thankful that He walks in to every situation that seems impossible, impenetrable, hopeless, and He sets us free. Pastor, would you come up? At the end, Pastor already gave an altar call, so we don't need to have another one. I'm more concerned. Listen, we come up here. That's a beautiful sign of our wanting to go deeper with God. And it touches us to see you up here. But I want to tell you today, the most encouraging thing you can do for us, and I want to do myself, is to think about what has been said today. That if you're in a prison, if you were locked up, if you're isolated, if the enemy has been tempting you to feel even disappointed in the Lord or blame the church. Hey, listen, if you want to blame the church, well, you'll find, I'll give you a list. We're not perfect, but it's still God's answer. It's still what Jesus died for and left here on this earth. I love the church. I love His bride. It's not perfect, but it's beautiful. So let the Lord into that prison of your life and let Him open the doors and let His dream and His doing come through you. Pastor Dave.
Amen. Praise be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Angela. She left it all out on the field. Amen. Poured it out. Thank you, Jesus. Let's bow our heads for a moment. I do believe there's something special God wants to do. As a matter of fact, you've been sitting a long time. Why don't you stand right now for a second and keep your heads bowed for a moment, eyes closed. I want to ask two things this morning, Brother Angel or Brother Joe, would you come up? First of all, if you're here today and you're not sure in your heart that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that if you were to die tonight, that you would be with Him in heaven. You're not 100% sure. You know that you need to be forgiven. You maybe have been even brought up in church. You've heard the message of the gospel, but you've never really surrendered your life to Him. You've never really said, Jesus, I want You to be in the driver's seat of my life. I want You to be the Lord of my life. I'm not promising I can be perfect, Lord, but I want You to be in control. I surrender my life to You, Lord Jesus, just like we've heard today, Lord. Is there one here today who say, yes, today I want to acknowledge, I'm not even going to call you up. I just want you to raise your hand because I want to pray for you. I want to acknowledge I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I need forgiveness. I need to be forgiven by God. And I ask Jesus to come into my heart this morning. Would you lift up your hand right now, wherever you are? Yes, yes, yes. Amen, amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? I want to give Jesus. Yes, I see these hands. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. In a moment, we're going to ask the rest of us another question. And that has to do with trusting God's goodness and His will. When you don't, as Pastor Angela said, when you don't see what's coming next, will you still trust Him that He's good? He's a good, good Father. Somebody say, He's a good, good Father. He's a good Shepherd. When you don't know what's coming, the question is, would you be willing to trust Him? I want us to say this prayer together, and then I'm going to invite some of you to come forward. Let's just pray together. Lord Jesus, we recognize that You gave Your life to do what no one else could do for me. You paid the price for my sins. You acquired God's forgiveness for me by dying on the cross. Your blood was the remedy, the full payment to ransom my life. Through You, Jesus Christ, I acknowledge that I can have a new life. I confess that You are the Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised You from the dead. You are my only hope of salvation. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Be the Lord of my life. I get off the throne, Lord, myself. And I worship You on the throne of my life as my only Lord and Master. I follow You now into this adventure that I have with You. New life that I have with You. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Thank You, God. Thank You, God. Thank You, God. Listen, there's still time this morning. I want us to, if we can, go to the latter will be greater than the past. Brother Joe, thank you. I want this to be an act of faith this morning. Some of you, after this message, you realize you've been isolated. You've been locked up. You've been believing a lie. And you know that God wants more for you. I felt like the Lord was saying, son, daughter, I want you to come up higher. I want you to come closer to me. Do not allow any man-made impediment, circumstances, or your own thinking to impede what I want to do in your life. I want you to remove boundaries now, the man-made boundaries, even your own thoughts and your own limitations. Put them on the side because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And as we sing this, I want you to come and kneel at this altar as a sign of trust, a sign that says, God, wherever I'm going, You're in charge. You're in charge of my future, Lord. And today I refuse to be locked behind the closed door. I'm coming out. Somebody say, I'm coming out. Come on, that's not good enough. Say, I'm coming out with Jesus' help. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Come on, sing it and come as you sing. Everyone, your ladder will be greater. Just kneel before the Lord. If you want to stay in your seat, you can kneel down. And